Welcome to my dojo. This is Kung Fu Pizza Party, and I'm your host, Brandon Knight. And today, I've got a bit of a weird one for y'all, because all I want to do here for however long this episode goes, I don't know, I literally just hit record. I don't know how long this is going to take. Hopefully not too long. But for the entirety of this episode, really all I want to say is this. Man, the Ninja Turtles are great. Here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. Admittedly, the fact that I want to do a whole episode just gushing over how great the Ninja Turtles are probably isn't necessarily weird. If you listen to this show or you are a Ninja Turtles fan, hearing some guy say, hey, let's talk about how awesome the Ninja Turtles are, you're probably thinking to yourself, hell yeah, let's do this. Let's talk about Ninja Turtles. Yeah, Ninja Turtles are awesome. Rarely, if ever, I have come across somebody who's like, you know what, Ninja Turtles, I think they're overrated. I've never once heard someone say that the Ninja Turtles are overrated or bad. Maybe specific installments of the Ninja Turtles. I have not seen the Michael Bay, the two live action Michael Bay films, but I am aware of the fact that if you are a diehard shellhead, you don't have a positive take on that one. That being said, when it comes to like the big 80s intellectual properties, I feel like Ninja Turtles is like the one that everybody smiles and says, yeah, they're kind of cool. You know, G.I. Joe, there's like specific people who like G.I. Joe. There's specific people who like Transformers. There's specific people who like Master of the Universe. Like, I like He-Man and the Masters of the Universe. Like, I'm kind of interested in this upcoming live-action film. I'll probably do the OG one at some point since Dolph Lundgren is in it. And a super young Courtney Cox, as I think everybody often forgets. But, like, G.I. Joe, it was kind of cool when I was a kid. I had a couple G.I. Joes. My brothers were more so into G.I. Joe. Sigma 6 was on when they were little. And my youngest brother is like really in, still to this day, really into G.I. Joe, the original cartoon. I don't know if he still collects figures, but I know that was kind of a thing for him there for a while. Transformers was cool for that first Shia LaBeouf movie, but honestly, like, the toy commercials were always really cool, but, like, Transformers have never really appealed to me. I've only ever seen that first Shia LaBeouf film. That's a weird one for me where I'm like, I don't know. I have a hard time, like, bending reality or suspending belief, I should say, to, like, really get into Transformers. I don't know why, of all things. I can watch pro wrestling any day of the week, but Transformers, there's a line there. And speaking of weird lines to draw in the sand, Ninja Turtles, for some reason, I'm perfectly fine with. I grew up watching that original live-action trilogy. I was never like a super diehard shellhead. I caught stuff here and there. I watched a little bit of the early 2000s series on Nickelodeon. I did see Mutant Mayhem not long after it came out, and that movie rules. Excited to talk about that movie at some point here on the show. But I had a ton of the figures too. My older cousin gave me his like entire collection when he was officially too old for toys. And unfortunately, after I was too old for toys, I gave them to somebody. And I'm a bit bummed about that now because I don't think I had any of like the super valuable collectible ones. But it was just now I see them at like toy stores, because that's like a thing again, independent toy stores, love that for us, or at antique stores, and I'm like, man, those are so cool, and like, I got like a whole tub of them for free, and now it's like $14 to get one of them back. That's not cool, man. I just want some Michelangelo in my life, that's all. I just want some fun Michelangelo figures. So yeah, again, to sit down and just have an episode that's just straight up like, yeah, Ninja Turtles are awesome, is not weird. It's probably the reason why I'm doing this episode right now, that is a bit weird. So here on Kung Fu Pizza Party, I seek to deliver high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and serve up some wisdom one slice at a time. So hopefully I don't go longer than 30 minutes just saying, wow, Ninja Turtles are awesome. But it's probably the reason why I'm spending 30 minutes or less talking about how awesome Ninja Turtles are. If you are a regular listener of the show, you may have noticed that there during the middle of the month here in April, just kind of radio silence there for a minute. Missed a couple episodes, was kind of distant from social media a little bit. And though there are times where, you know, life just kind of gets busy and I get behind because I'm basically a one-man operation here. This time was different. You see, earlier this month, actually the Monday after Easter, my grandpa passed away. My grandpa, who we had just saw 2 days prior for a family Easter get-together, was perfectly fine on Saturday. All good. 79 years old, so he had been having some health problems, but nothing out of the ordinary or concerning that day. And then by Monday afternoon, after I got done with my ninja classes, I got a call from my mom to let me know that he had passed away. And obviously, with the death of a loved one comes a lot of grieving, especially when it's someone like your grandpa that you're really close to. And so it was a really hard, really like week and a half, 2 weeks for all of us. We all loved our grandpa very much. My cousins from Texas came up for the funeral. Another additional factor in all of this was the fact that perks of going to school to be a pastor, I was the one to do the funeral service. This is actually my second time doing that. The other time was for my other grandpa, my granddaddy, after he passed away two, three years ago now. It was my first funeral, and I just had to do the one for my other grandpa now. And it is, I don't know if you're listening to this, I don't know if you have ever been in a position where you have had to perform the service for a loved one. It's interesting to me how when it comes to marriage, there's all these hoops you have to jump through to prove the fact that you are a licensed minister in order to do a marriage ceremony. But when it comes to a funeral service, anyone can do that. Even though there are legal documents involved, you do have to prove that the person is dead or prove that they had military experience, or, you know, you do have to spend quite a bit of money on this, on a funeral. So it's always fascinated me that when it comes to marriage, there's a lot of hoops that you have to jump through to prove that you are a legal minister. But with funerals, any Tom, Dick, or Harry can do it. And my family asked me to arrange the service and to preach at it. And I did it willingly. I did it willingly because I know that with my training as a pastor, this kind of a moment is an opportunity for me to express love to my family. This is a big reason why I have done both of these services, is because I have the training. I know what is expected of a minister, and it's my opportunity to show my family that I love them and that I am here for them through this. Plus, it is a little bit easier when you do a service for somebody that you know versus, you know, some funeral homes just have a list of pastors that when somebody passes away and the family wants a minister, but they're not like churchy people or whatever, they can just like call up certain pastors. It's different though when you actually like know the person personally and can speak about their life on a more intimate basis versus like having to conduct an entire interview with the family to get an idea of who the person was. But when you're playing the role of the person who is there to provide hope and security during a time of grief, it can get hard to also be the one who's also grieving. It's hard to offer the hope while also being immensely grieving. And right or wrong, one thing that I have learned is that you grieve before, you grieve afterwards. The day of, and this, I don't normally like talking about ministry this way, but the day of, you show up for work. Like that, when it's time for the service, you're on the clock. I don't normally like talking about ministry that way, but I think it just kind of gets the idea of cross of like the posture I'm in, you know. And so, with the service being done, and the couple days afterwards, I was just very depressed. It was my time. It was my turn to grieve now. And so I was very depressed. And of course, while being very depressed, work was also very busy. Because, you know, life just keeps going, right? Life, work was really busy. I got an almost four-year-old and, you know, I love him, but almost four-year-olds can be exhausting. And I got to the point where, trust me, the Ninja Turtle stuff is coming back soon. Everyone's like, this took a dark turn quickly. But I had reached out to Joe Day a couple days ago because, you know, he was supposed to come back and do Mortal Kombat Annihilation, which is still going to happen. But yeah, I kind of went radio silence on him and I was just explaining what was going on. And one thing I had said to him was like, I just need to kind of get to the weekend when everything's finally done and I can start feeling again. Like, I just kind of needed to get to a point where it was just so busy and I was so depressed with grief from my grandfather passing away that I was just like, content creating, as much as I love doing this show and love, you know, doing fun things on social media, and I'm so appreciative of the fact that you all show up episode after episode to listen, at the end of the day, I was like, that can just hit the back burner for a while until I can like feel stable again and be ready to go back out there. And he was obviously very understanding. And yes, that's coming. Don't worry. You're still going to get the Mortal Kombat Annihilation episode. Honestly, I'm kind of on the clock now because MK2 is right around the corner and I still have to do that one and the remake. So, but we're here for Ninja Turtles. So you're probably thinking to yourself, so was like your grandpa a big Ninja Turtles fan? No, although I'm sure he knew what the Ninja Turtles were. Now you're super confused why we're talking about all of this right now. No, the Ninja Turtle part actually plays more into the healing processing part versus strictly speaking, my grandfather. I have a little golden book. It's called Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, Totally Turtles. And I sat down to read this during the weekend of just like during this weekend where I'm trying to like get my head back on straight and kind of get caught up on things around the house, but also like breathe, process, and begin the moving on part. I just needed a moment to enjoy life again. And so I pulled out this little golden book. I am actually building a collection of little golden books. My goal is to, which is not shocking that I'm collecting something else. If you keep up with the YouTube channel, Studio 219, you know I have a show on there called Going Collecting. And you can find a link to that in the description of this episode. What was I saying? Oh, yeah. I'm actually building like a collection of little golden books. My goal is to have one for however old I am. So I'm 32, so my goal right now is to have 32 little golden books. I don't. thankfully, these books are little, so they don't take up a ton of space. I think I have like 10, though. Joshua Knoll can be incredibly jealous because I have a Darkwing Duck one, and he loves Darkwing Duck. Suck it, Josh. I'm sure you're listening at some point. I'll get a text about that. But I pulled out this Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles book. It's, I don't know, 12 pages? I don't know, probably not. 20 pages long, and it's based on the 80s, or the late 80s, early 90s cartoon, the original cartoon series. And it's just an introduction to the Ninja Turtles. It starts with April O'Neil. It's got like a word bubble, like a comic book. And she's like, I'm a news reporter, but the coolest story that I cannot tell is the fact that I'm best friends with the Ninja Turtles. And you get a little like, this is the story in a nutshell, and how they went from turtles to Teenage Mutant ones, and Master Splinter, and this is each of the Ninja Turtles, and Donatello builds really cool things. Here's the turtle van, and this is Shredder, Bebop, and Rocksteady. It even talks about Krang, which is part of the lore that I don't really know very well, the whole Dimension X stuff, but here's Krang, and all the other kind of mutants that show up throughout the series, and Casey Jones, and I love Casey Jones. Even as a kid watching like the live action movie, I had a Casey Jones figure with all those toys. I love Casey Jones. Probably one of the earliest, besides the fact that I was like really into Batman when I was a little kid, Casey Jones is probably one of the earliest indicators that I was going to grow up to love anti-heroes. Like, and like Casey isn't necessarily like an anti-hero like the Punisher or some of the other like darker mid-range Marvel characters, but like I grew up to really love The Crow and Ghost Rider and like John Constantine, just like these like kind of darker characters. I feel like the word anti-hero has kind of lost a lot of its like meaning and edge over the years. But anyway, so, and it, as is, that's it. That's the whole book. It's just like this little introduction to the Ninja Turtles and turtle power. Like, that's it. And it just, it, these books are so short. And so it didn't take me any time to get through it. But it was just like, for that moment, I was happy and a kid again. Because, you know, the Ninja Turtles, like, yes, there is definitely parts of the Ninja Turtle multi-license property stuff that, like, definitely is more towards older kids. Like, the original comic book series, where it started all at, was, like, definitely not kid-friendly. Or the last Ronin series from a couple years ago, definitely not kid-friendly. But by and large, like the media, the shows, the movies, like it's a little bit more like kid driven, especially this original cartoon series. And so like there's just something about the Ninja Turtles that like appeals to kids. And as an adult, kind of put me back into that like simple, safe kid environment. I actually got to like sit and read this. I got to. Cooper always wants to read books, okay? Producer Cooper is a big reader. Well, he likes people reading to him. Hopefully he continues to be a big reader as he gets older. And I sat down to read this book and he just like squirmed onto my lap and was like, okay, you're reading this out loud to me now. And I was like, I wanted to have a moment to myself, but I was like, you know what? No, I'm going to read this to him because he likes the Ninja Turtles. He does. I found out that there was one of those fast channels that is just like 24/7, the original Ninja Turtles cartoon, I asked him. No context, no nuance, nothing. I was like, hey, buddy, you want to watch Ninja Turtles? And he looked at me and was like, Ninja Turtles? Yeah. Because that's the thing. It's like, especially in the 90s, but even still today, like he knows what a ninja is. That's what his dad does for a living, after all. And he knows what a turtle is because turtles are like one of those basic creatures that we teach children about at a very young age. How do you put those together? And it's just like it writes itself. It markets itself. And yeah, it can get so much more complicated and storylines and darker and the whole bit. But just at its core, there's just something so just like it just brings about joy. The Ninja Turtles just is like this little dose of dopamine and joy for people, and just continues to be, because turtles shouldn't be ninjas. And as long as that's part of the name, there will always be Ninja Turtle stuff. Like, it's just, it was brilliant. And it was all just supposed to be a parody of Daredevil. I know, I'm aware of that. But, like, it's just amazing how just something so simple. Let's make turtles who know ninjutsu and all have Renaissance painters' names for some reason. I'm sure some shellhead can tell me why. But somehow, of all things, Ninja Turtles has become this like multi-generational intellectual property that has inspired people to get into the martial arts, has brought parents together with their kids as they show them new forms of the media, and just continues to be such a big player. It just continues to be this big player of martial art media. And yeah, there's some duds along the way, but overall, like, I feel like the Ninja Turtles have a really great batting average when it comes to the stuff that is put out with their name attached to it. And yeah, I'm excited. I think next year there's supposed to be a sequel to Mutant Mayhem, so I'm sure we'll do something related to that when it comes out. But yeah, that's really it. That's all I really wanted to say, is that the Ninja Turtles got to be a part of my healing process this weekend from the death of my grandpa. And so, yeah, weird to dedicate an episode to him about this, but he probably would have laughed. And I guess I'll just say, like, to just kind of wrap up this weird, very cathartic episode for me. If you're going through something right now, one thing I have learned in my own faith and spirituality the past few years is that it's not childish to do something like this. Like, I really think that as adults, because I imagine most people listening to this are adults, as adults, we have really lost awe and wonder and whimsy and fun and playing. And some people, they got that. They understood the assignment and they continue to just like stay with their thing. And even when society told them that, you know, this is just extended adolescence and that they need to grow up, or misquoted putting away childish things to them from the Bible, like, continue with the thing that makes you happy. Because you know what? The world can give you plenty of reasons to be angry and upset and frustrated and anxious and depressed and the whole bit. Hold on to those things that do remind you that it's good to be alive, that you're happy that you're here, that you're... And if it looks like pulling out your old Ninja Turtle toys and maybe just arranging them on a shelf, or, you know, sitting down and firing up your GameCube or whatever that looks like for you, just because you liked it when you were a kid doesn't mean that you have to grow up and, you know, treat it like it's, you know, not important anymore. Play with your toys. Read your fun books. And if it, especially when it brings you some joy and some happiness when life gets hard. Thanks for listening to this wacky episode. I just needed to like get this one off my chest and move on. That's all. I promise. Everyone's a little weirded out by me right now, but I promise everything is good. I'm doing better. I'll be back for more fun soon. If you haven't yet already, please rate and review this show wherever you get your podcast. Pass this episode along to a friend. And check out the other great shows here on the Anazao Ministries Podcast Network. Like Why I Don't Like, Page and Pixel, Systematic Geekology, and my sister show, My Seminary Life, recently celebrated the 5-year anniversary, so go check out that episode of the show. And yeah, you can also keep up with the show on Instagram at Kung Fu Pizza Party, on Letterboxd, Kung Fu Pizza PRTY, where you can get a review of the movie before the episode comes out, and my YouTube channel, Studio 219, a place for faith and pop culture. Thanks again for listening and bearing with me through this episode. My bad. Back to normal shenanigans here soon. But until next time, this has been Kung Fu Pizza Party, where I definitely have delivered high-flying action in 30 minutes or less and served up some wisdom one slice at a time. Cowabunga.